Buy a bag of Hill's Pet Nutrition, help feed a shelter pet. Buy another bag of Hill's Pet Nutrition, help feed more shelter pets. Buy Hill's, help feed shelter pets. Buy Hill's, help feed shelter pets. Every time you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet in need, helping them become healthy, happy, and more adoptable. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/radio or tap the banner to learn more.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed, after all these years, this is still the voice of the Christian resistance. And tonight, this is Pledge Week, Pledge Week, Pledge Week, folks. So I'm going to give you that number, 888-281-1110. That's the credit card line. The other number is 888-677-9673, and that is the pledge line. And so, and already, Anonymous has already pledged $200 from Ohio. All right, thank you, Anonymous. Now, back in the boiler room, that's right, back there on manning the phones. Pastor's mighty men, Randy and Eric and Aaron. And then, of course, we got in the glass cage our producer. He's on top of it. He's willing to throw his body in front of me just to of course, it wouldn't cover that much of my body up. But anyhow, and that's style with a smile.
Was that in the contract? I didn't read that part.
All right. Oh. And here, live in the studio, you heard the cackle. That's right. It's Little Lisa Hickman.
Good evening, everyone.
All right. And also live in here, we have Pastor. That's right. He wasn't with us for a long time. Richard Lewis, Pastor Richard Lewis.
Welcome, everyone. Glad to be here.
And our special guest out there tonight is State Representative Jennifer Gross. Hey, Jennifer.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for having me on again.
And also we have Scott Roeder. And Scott is calling from a prison in Wichita. Now, this is an interesting thing because we had every now and then, and in 50 years it's happened maybe 10 times, we've double-booked a program. But I think this might work out for the best tonight. I think maybe the good Lord double-booked this because we're on the same page. And it kind of goes right along with our message tonight, our sermon. The title of the message was The Duties of Fathers Toward Their Families. The Duties of Fathers Toward Their Families. And there's some of us out there that actually really, really do believe the Word of God. And we don't hold to the fact at all, that it's not a fact, that God, is swayed by public opinion polls. Apparently, many of those so-called churches out there, the pastors feel that way. They profess that they fear God, but in their actions, most of them show they fear the government more.
Mm-hmm.
And today I got a call this morning early asking if I would often give the invocation at a meeting tonight, a banquet dinner that we're having, and speak. And it's for the camp, the Liberty Camp. It's a summer camp for kids. It teaches them the Bible. It teaches them actual true history. It is really great. And they put on these shows where they have the people dressed like George Washington and Martha Washington. And it's really, I mean, it's a really great camp for these children. And I got a call and said, I'm looking for someone who would open in prayer, one of the Black Robe Regiment men. And, of course, I belong to the Black Robe Regiment. There's not many of us left out there today. And that's pastors that have not compromised, okay?
Amen.
And that have held. Amen.
Scott. Amen.
And so we're going to pick it up in our scripture where we left off. And here we talked about, Jennifer, first of all, the definition of a father. Now, a lot of the people you serve with in the House, the Democrats, this is a little deep for them, but you know, this goes right along on the same level as knowing what a woman is
right.
to know what a father is. And here's the definition. Are you ready? Because this is deep. A male parent. That's what it is, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
Let me write that down, Pastor.
Yeah.
I don't want to miss any of that.
And so we're looking at the duties of a father toward his family. One, love. Two was the commandments for them. The third was the instruction to instruct them. Fourth was to guide and to warn them. The fifth was to teach and to train them. And then the sixth was to teach, to restrain them, okay? And tonight we're going to pick it up with punish. We're going to punish. And this is the law of the rebellious son. And this is in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 18 through 23. That's Deuteronomy 21, 18 through 23. And here's how it reads. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of the city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of the city, this is our son. Is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of the city shall stone him with stones, that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you. And all of Israel shall hear and fear. And if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death, thou shalt hang him on a tree. His body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged on a tree is cursed of God. And the land be not defiled, which the Lord God had giveth thee for an inheritance. So now, all right, now I'm going to get some comment, and we'll start with Jennifer because she's the lady here. Do you have a comment on this, Jennifer?
I just wonder when kids are today, when they're rebelling. You know, they don't want to come home on time. They are mad because we didn't give them, you know, exactly what they wanted. They demand everything. They want to sit in their rooms. They won't go to church. I just wonder what our culture would say if they got stoned.
So if that was the case today with our young people, We'd have to go to the gravel yard and order rocks by the truckload, wouldn't we?
Yeah, I mean, it feels like sometimes our kids are, I think for me as a parent, I need to own my own situation. So I think that sometimes we've been too easy on our kids.
Well, you're right about that. Okay. Richard?
Yeah, it's real easy to be too easy on the kids. But, you know, years ago I read a book by Michael Pearl, Train Up a Child. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what, that this talks about starting training them when they're very, very young. And, you know, a lot of times as parents we're too late for those kind of things because the children are older or as they grow. But if we can touch those hearts when they're young and teach them these basic principles and correct them when they need to be corrected, we don't need to go, you know, you wouldn't need to be going into this situation with these unruly kids.
All right. Scott?
Yes, sir. You know, we've all heard spare the rod and spoil the child. I think, like the gentleman said, we need to start very, very early and discipline them and not abuse them, but discipline them to the extent that they hear us and know what we're saying. I remember the first time when my son was probably 2 or 3 years old, and he, I can't remember exactly what happened, but he got out of hand, and I struck him on his behind. And my goodness, my wife was right there like an eagle over her nestlings, like, how dare you touch my child? And so that's kind of what I was up against. But yeah, we cannot spare the rod. We would spoil the child. You know, we have to catch the children early and give them the discipline they need. And they'll I'm sure that they will thank us later on, Pastor Sanders.
Well, here's some information for you. Did you know that through all the historical records, there is not one case, there's no record, not one record, of any of these people stoning their rebellious sons. In every case, you know, when you grabbed a kid and you took him down to the gate of the city, you would be surprised how quickly he repented.
Quickly.
Yeah.
You bet.
Let's see that.
You bet.
Yeah, it was a common thing. But not only that, but, you know, here again, who's to decide what's rebellion? Now, in your cases here, often you would have people, relatives say, well, wait a minute, if you didn't treat the boy so bad, he wouldn't be rebellious and this and that. And so there was situations where
you have talked for 15 minutes. For a total cost of $1.
Forgive me for this recording.
Cents.
Sorry.
This message is at no cost. You may continue speaking now.
Sorry. Boy, wait a minute here. I'm paying a whole lot more than a dollar for 15 minutes. For this airtime, I'm being ripped off.
So obnoxious. Yeah.
Yeah.
Every 15 minutes. Yeah.
So there, you know, so here we have this, and there's not any recorded cases, you know. Any of the historical records of them. So it's an interesting thing, but as I'm looking here, I'm looking at another verse in chapter 22, verses 5. It's the law of separations. And it says, the women shall not wear that which pertaineth to a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord of God. What's that say for drag queens?
Wow.
So when they invite these drag queens into the public school system, they're inviting in an abomination, aren't they?
They sure are. They sure surely are. Unfortunately, that is the case today. Unfortunately.
In those days when that was taking place, if a woman was dressed like a man, she was disgraced, okay? But if a man dressed like a woman, he wasn't so lucky. His punishment would be he was not tolerated. Okay, so
absolutely, yeah.
And
you can't have that.
Wow.
So
yeah, it's too bad when they put up with that today. It's just terrible. It shows you where we are as a society.
You're absolutely right. Let's go over now, because here we're going to take a look at what God's Word, the Bible, has to say about chastisement. And in Hebrews chapter 12, starting with verse 5 through verse 11. Hebrews chapter 12, starting with verse 5 through verse 11. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. For you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not? But if you be without chastisement, wherefore all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. Joe Biden should know that, I guess, huh?
Oh, absolutely. Wow. You better believe that.
Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh that which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live?
Absolutely.
For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereof. And so that is one of the problems today you have. You know, parents, you know, the parents that when I had a foster child, and when we adopted the foster child, there was a manual that came along with that. Of course, that was many years ago. That foster child's, he's in his mid-50s now. But anyhow, in the manual they had, they said that you were allowed to administer corporal punishment, you know, with your hand to their backside, whatever. But when the socialist worker came out and said, well, we know that that's in the manual, but we don't allow it. I said, really? I said, well, let me tell you what. In this house, okay, I'm the law.
Yeah.
And if he deserves it, he's going to get it, okay? And,
amen.
And so, you know, I think I startled the social worker, you know, with that comment. That was the end of the conversation there.
Well, that chastening teaches the children boundaries. And, you know, everyone needs to be chastened. That's what it tells us here in Hebrews, how God chastens us. I mean, even us as adults, we need to sometimes be slapped into a better position. We do stupid things. And so children want to have those boundaries. And if we really, truly love them, as their Hebrews showing that God loves us, we're going to chasten our children so that we keep them in their boundaries to protect them.
That's right.
That's what it's about. It's not being mean. It's to show them the problems out there, and we know a little bit more than they do.
Absolutely. Let me just say this too. We have Terry in New York pledges 300. Ronald in Ohio pledges 35. Style pledges 40. Bill in Hartville pledges 100. Thank you, thank you, thank you. The numbers are 888-281-1110. That's the credit card line. Or 888-677-9673. And so here, you know, a parent is a parent. And I've heard these people tell me that I want to be, and I'll tell you, we've had the worst disciplinarians are the women. I've had many times these mothers, Jennifer, say they want to be their daughter's best friend.
Mm.
And do you know, even until just a year ago, the number one graduation gift that mothers were giving their daughters when they graduated high school was breast enlargements.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, how smart is that, right?
Wow.
And so
ridiculous.
Right.
Yeah.
So you've got to be a parent. You can't be the buddy. You've got to be a parent, don't you?
Right, right.
And I mean, how many times do we hear also, I didn't feel loved because I wasn't disciplined? And I think even as Christians walking with the Lord, it's the same. I mean, how many times have we said, God, you are so good because you set me straight? You know, I mean,
absolutely.
I just think about that.
Absolutely.
Yes,
you know,
man, absolutely.
When I come from, I had four brothers, and my dad, one time, he got us together. Now, my dad was a man of few words, but you better listen to him. And he's, you know, we were in our teens at that time. And he said, listen, and you pay close attention to me, you know. See, we were taught to respect women, that, you know, you didn't cuss around women. You know, those days were different.
Nice.
You know, we got the doors for them. You know, we acted totally different than they do today. And you would never expect, if you go out on a date, to have the woman pay for it, but they do that. And having sex on your first date was not expected, you know, like it is today, okay? And but anyhow, so...
Or second or third.
yeah. My dad says, listen, he said, I'm going to let you guys know, you fool around, you get a girl pregnant. He said, I don't care if she is as ugly as 7 miles of bad highway. You're going to marry that woman, and you're going to give that baby a name.
Right.
And,
absolutely.
Or you're going to deal with me. And so we knew that. We had a difference. We treated the women with respect. We didn't, you know, as the weaker vessel, the way it should have been.
Right.
And they treated us the same way and with respect. Don't you wish we had those days back, Jennifer?
Yeah, I do. I will say I have a 20-year-old who looks for a girl, but he's discouraged because he says, Mom, all the girls are expecting, you know, it's not the boys. Like, he wants a quote-unquote good girl, right? And he says that there aren't any out there. I said, well, that's rather negative, because I do believe there are some good girls that are actually looking for a guy that, you know, wants to have, you know, they want to keep the marriage bed undefiled. Let's just use the scripture. And I think that, but, you know, the boys have to be walking with the Lord. And, you know, they have to be what that girl's looking for, too. It can't be the physical, but they have to be standing as a godly man in that right position, right? I think, like, if a boy is not walking with the Lord, but he wants a chaste girl, that's a little bit harder to find, I believe.
Well,
I mean, I think a girl who seeks the Lord is going to be seeking God's precepts and God's values.
You're absolutely right. You see on all these programs and that, where these guys are going out and these dating websites and that,
yeah.
they go to bars or clubs to find a girl. That's the worst place you can go to find a good girl. If you're looking for a good girl, go to church. Find one who believes in the Lord. It's an amazing thing.
And you need to be careful, though, even in church, because I've heard so many guys say, well, I'm going to go to church and find a good Christian girl. And these girls that are not come to church and say, I'm going to come find a good Christian man. And they end up getting together, and neither one of them are good Christians, let alone.
You know, Pastor, yeah, that's what my son's upset about.
Yeah,
but he's using that as an excuse not to walk with the Lord right now, and he's like, Mom, you don't know what the girls are doing in church. And I'm like, okay, so we're all sinners saved by grace, and you know, I mean, we've got to. But I hear you, Pastor, because that's part of my son's discouragement.
Yeah, it really is nowadays, and the thing of it is today you go to a beach. And these women are almost naked. They're almost naked. Well, they are virtually naked.
Forget the beach. Those amusement parks.
yeah. And they would have been arrested. When I was a kid growing up in the 50s, they would have been arrested for that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
In fact, you know, Jennifer, I remember, listen to this, I remember hearing a ruckus, and I went out, and across the street over there, my neighbor was being arrested for taking the Lord's name in vain. He was cussing. He was taking the Lord's name in vain, and he got arrested for doing that.
Wow.
And nowadays, that, you know.
Amazing, amazing.
Well, you know, Pastor Sanders, it comes back to also what you started with, the father and the leadership of the man in the home as well. And I'm not, look, I'm not giving, you know, any excuse to a woman who's trying to, you know, foster husband around or be, you know, the leader of the family. But what I'm saying is that it takes a strong family respecting the mother and the father standing in his rightful place for the daughters to take their rightful place, for the sons to take their rightful place, right?
Absolutely.
That strong father.
You're absolutely right. Hang tight. We'll be back right after this.
Today we fulfill our promise to bring drastic reform to our educational system and bring common sense back to our classroom. A strong education system leads to a strong economy and a strong state.
This bill mandates the display of the Ten Commandments in every classroom in public, elementary, secondary, and post-education schools in the state of Louisiana. Because if you want to respect the rule of law, you got to start from the original lawgiver, which was Moses.
That's right.
Amen.
All right.
God gave, Moses received.
That's right.
All right, actually, the original lawgiver was God.
It was
the Father gave the law to Moses, right?
Yeah, but what we were talking about, just to mention to the listeners, remember, this is Pledge Week, so 888-677-9673 or credit card 888-281-1110. But these books that I have wrote on marriage, pastors giving those out with contributions, and this last book that I put together is a wedding planner and counseling, and exactly what we were talking about, Jennifer, as far as what people need to talk about and how to find a spouse, and the one section in there is topics that should be discussed before planning to marry. And
nice.
We were talking about the children and disciplining the children. That's something that a couple needs to talk about. Listen, you know, I'm interested in you, but if the kids are unruly, they're going to get the paddle.
Yep.
And if you don't like that, then there's no way we're going to be married, you know. These things need to be discussed before planning to marry, before these people don't talk about them, and then they end up getting married, and then they go, oh, wow.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, you do everything within limits, too, when it comes
sure.
to chastising a child or you know, you're going to keep it reasonable, all things reasonable.
And that's right. Just on children, disciplining children. Some children, looking at them sternly or talking to them severely is plenty.
Yeah.
Other children right. need to have a paddle. I mean, it's every personality is different.
And you have to be careful, too, because, you know, a father's words can cut a child to the quick. And I remember there was a very rebellious young girl. And her father told her one day, there's nothing good about you at all. Nothing. You don't have any good merits. Nothing. You're completely dirty. You're soiled. And that cut her to the quick. And later on, I ended up counseling between the father and the daughter. We sat down and we had some talks. And today they have a very good relationship. And I praise the good Lord for that.
Amen.
But you could just cut a child. You can break a child's heart with words. And so... You need to be careful. All right, Jennifer, you are here to instruct us on some legislation coming up. Tell us what we need to do. Tell us all about it, young lady.
All right. So we're going to talk about HB 73, right? That's called the Dave and Angie Patient Provider Protection Act. The gist of the bill is this. During COVID, since you guys bring the truth to your listeners, During COVID, we know that there was one treatment in Ohio when someone got COVID. You went in. If you weren't short of breath, they sent you home, and then you were not to come back till you were short of breath. When you came into the hospital, if you were positive for COVID, they got money. If they put you in the ICU, they got money. If they put you on a ventilator, they got money. And even if you died, they got money. But there was only one treatment and one treatment only. It was basically remdesivir and a ventilator. Occasionally, they threw in some, you know, steroids or an occasional antibiotic. But most of the time, it was remdesivir and a ventilator. You could go anywhere if you didn't like that treatment and you wanted to transfer. You would go to the next hospital. There would be one treatment and one treatment only, remdesivir and a ventilator. Doctors, we had a doctor, P, and I've just spaced her name, but she was in my testimony in the Senate 3 weeks ago in the Senate. I'd encourage your listeners to go to the Ohio Channel, listen to the Senate Health Committee, and listen to our proponent. Those are the people for the bill. As she talked about working at one of our 800-bed hospitals, likely in Columbus, I believe, where she, a physician with 25 years of internal medicine ICU experience, was not allowed to treat her patients with anything but the hospital protocol. This bill protects the relationship between you, the patient, and your doctor. And if you go into the hospital and you go, well, wait a minute, I want to try budesonide, which a lot of your listeners probably haven't heard of. There's a doctor, Richard Bartlett, out of Texas, and he discovered, he has a website called budesonideworks.com. There are patients denied budesonide, a simple generic inhaler in Ohio, and that drug alone saved lives. Hospitals were rejecting anything other than that one protocol. So when a patient wanted other drugs, let's say ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine, those are a little bit more politically charged. But the hospitals, like a lady in my district, Julie Smith, her husband Jeff Smith, died at a hospital in Westchester because she sued the hospital to get ivermectin. She got it, and then the other judge reversed the hospital countersuit and removed the ivermectin, and her husband Jeff died. Because the hospitals would not allow any other treatment but the one they chose. This bill would allow physicians who want to come in to get temporary privileges to treat only that patient and treat them with another option. And the other thing is there's an element in this bill that also says that we will not listen to the World Health Organization if they come in and they demand or dictate that we must follow their orders.
Amen to that.
This is Ohio. Yeah. So this is Ohio saying we will not listen to the World Health Organization. It also would require the outpatient pharmacist, if they refuse, like they're not allowed to ask you, well, why are you getting that? Well, I have a friend, I was walking with her yesterday, and she said, I was ordered ivermectin. The pharmacist at the Walgreens said, why are you getting this? She said, I'm not going to tell you. They said that I'm not going to dispense it to you. The bill would require the pharmacist to document why they did not dispense. And this bill is being opposed by the Ohio Hospital Association, the Ohio Pharmacists Association, the Business Roundtable, and others. And when they did their opponent testimony last week, 16 witnesses opposed this bill. None of them spoke about the patient at all. They talked about the hospital, the policies, but they didn't even at all ever talk about the individual patient and saving lives. That right there, Pastor Sanders and Pastor and Scott and Lisa, that right there ought to be enough to every person listening on your radio program to understand that the bill is for the patient and the physician, and that relationship is sacred, but the opponents are all about the almighty dollar.
You're absolutely right. I had gotten a call, two calls. One pastor, one of my associate pastors, was in the hospital. He called me from his bed. He was very, very, very ill. And he said, Pastor, I do not want remdesivir. I want you to talk to my doctor. He's right here. And tell him, make sure you know that I do not get remdesivir. And so He put the doctor on the phone, and the doctor told me, listen, he said, it's not the remdesivir that's killing the people. It's the fact that these doctors have not been trained in it. They're killing their patients because they don't know how to give it. You've got to give a minute, just a very minute amount, the very smallest amount, and then you have to monitor that. Well, you know, you'd be better not to use it to begin with because
correct.
It's just something that they're making tons of, $1,000 a dose?
$3,000, I believe.
Well, anyhow.
$3,000 for a course of treatment.
Where hydroxychloroquine costs 70 cents a dose.
That's right.
Yeah, there you go. You found it. But this guy admitted that these fellow doctors are killing their patients. And so then we had another call from another pastor telling me that one of his men was in, one of his deacons was in the hospital right out there in Jog County, and that he told him not to give him remdesivir, and they didn't listen after he told him, and he ended up getting it, and they killed him. He died.
Yep.
And so.
Yep.
Yeah.
This is unconscionable. I mean, if I said, if anyone, any of you guys on the radio program allergic to penicillin, usually there's someone allergic to penicillin. If I told you you need an antibiotic, but you can only have one, and the only option you can have is penicillin, I mean, how many people have high blood pressure, and they tell you, oh, you only get one medication. That's it. There's only one medication. Or arthritis. There's only one pain medication. Name it. There's not one antibiotic. There's not only one treatment for rheumatoid arthritis or arthritis. There's not only one treatment for diabetes, one treatment for hypertension. But during COVID, the only treatment was remdesivir and a ventilator.
I hear you. I got to break in here in a minute. Paul in Dallas pledges 50. Barb in Lakewood pledges 500. Thank you. The phone numbers are 888-281-1110. Or 888-677-9673. Give us a call. We have State Representative Jennifer Gross here with us tonight, and she's gonna give us our marching orders, gonna tell us what we need to do. Are you folks ready to fight? That's what we do here. We run to the battle. So we're in with you on this 110%. What do we do?
Thank you, Pastor Sanders. Thanks to all you guys. Here's what you need to do. You need to write Steve Huffman, the chair of the Senate Health Committee. You need to watch the opponent testimony and get mad and watch how they don't even mention the patient. You need to write your Ohio state senator, whoever that is, and you need to say, even if they're not, because they'll say to them, this is, remember, we equip your listeners. They will say, well, I don't get to make a vote because I'm not on health committee. Doesn't matter. You put pressure on that health committee, the Ohio Senate Health Committee, to pass the bill out of this committee and get it to the floor to pass it out of the Senate. It passed 75-16 in the House, and Senator Steve Huffman, the chair of the Ohio Health Committee, is on the committee. Senator Nikki Antonio, Senator Ingram, Senator Hackett, Senator Romanchuk, and Senator Rogner are all on health committee. Some of them are already yeses.
Rogner will be a yes. She's mine.
The one that can only call it for a vote is Senator Steve Huffman, the chair of the committee. So all the pressure should go on him first and then to your individual senators and all the people on the Senate Health Committee. Tell them, move that bill ASAP.
Okay, right, his last name spelled H-U-S Hushman?
Huffman, H-U-F-F, like Huffman.
Oh, okay.
Yep, Huffman. Steve Huffman, he's a doctor. He's actually an ER doctor. And he also, there's a lot of, politicians, as you know, get a lot of money from these organizations like the Ohio Hospital Association. I'm just saying, and Big Pharma, I'm just saying, and the Children's Hospitals Associations and all the above.
All right, so now would he be in his office tomorrow? Are you guys out on vacation again? Or?
On Fridays, they aren't normally there, but his staff will be there, and they should email. Make sure you call and email, because little known fact, if you call, we can delete it. If you email, it becomes public record. So you should always email, follow up with a phone call.
All right, folks out there, listen. In other words, they got to get his email. You wouldn't by chance.
And all you need to do is go to the Ohio Senate.org. I believe it's Ohio Senate. If you just type in "Who is my Ohio senator?" in any search engine, and it should bring you up to the website, or type in OhioSenate.org, and it should come on there. And if you tootle around in the website, it should tell you how to find who your senator is.
Now, you don't have to live in Ohio to do this, folks out there, because if they get it done in this state, they'll try it in yours. So from coast to coast, you need to do that. Go to OhioSenate.org. His name is Steve Huff, H-U-F-F-M-A-N, and it's House Bill 73.
Yes, sir.
House Bill 73. Sir. Tell him to get it to the floor for a vote, to bring it to the floor for a vote. And I'm going to do it tomorrow.
That'd be great. And I thank anyone in or out of Ohio for their help and love, for helping all people who have suffered and those who have died. Do it in the honor of those who suffered under this the COVID regime, people like Fauci and whatnot. I mean, and then, like you said, and then bring this bill to their state, too.
Fauci was a mass murderer. We reported on him years ago when he was doing experiments on children, little children and puppies, torturing them. This guy is an absolute, he's a mass murderer. He needs to be charged with crimes against humanity.
Agreed.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, you always, you know, you have an open invitation. Anytime you need airtime, you let me know, Jennifer. And I'm going to repeat this again tomorrow. I'm going to have folks out there see if we can generate to get some people out there.
I'm humbled. I'm humbled to be asked to be on. Anytime you want me, it's the same. If you want me to come back, feel free to reach out, and I will try to be here anytime you want, talking about whatever topic you guys want to talk about. Because there's nothing. I have a town hall every month, and I meet with my constituents every month, and we talk about the hard things. So you can never put me on the spot. You can ask me whatever, and we can talk about whatever topic you'd like to talk about, whether it's election integrity, medical freedom, pro-life, death penalty, all that kind of stuff. So any of the above, we can talk about it.
If you email me your town hall meetings and what you're going to talk about in advance, I'll announce it on the air.
All right. If I can be that organized, I will. Like my Monday one, I'm going to work on my agenda tomorrow. So, and I have one Monday, but it'll be my last one until September. So I'll try to get on it and be ready so that I can tell you for the September one.
That'd be absolutely great. We're going to be playing a clip here in about 12 minutes. It's a, you know, very, very hard-hitting clip. If you want to stay with us.
Love it.
And listen to that. Meanwhile, I've got to give those numbers out. This is Pledge Week. We've got to raise a lot of money. Airtime is not cheap. So, folks, it's 888-281-1110, 888-281-1110, and that's the credit card line, or 888-677-9673. Scott Ritter was with us. I hope he calls back. I think he's going to – he's in a prison in Wichita, Kansas. And Scott was the fellow that shot and killed Killer George Tiller, the notorious abortionist.
Oh, wow.
And he's been in prison now. Scott, and there are a lot of people condemn him, but you know, he had eight men contact him, write him, or wouldn't even come to visit him in the prison. Because they found out their wives had appointments to go in and kill their babies, abort their babies without their knowledge. And so here they all thanked him had he not done what he did. But an abortionist is a murderer. And in this country, again, that court in 1973, the only thing they were supreme in is the rebellion against God. What they did literally is they said, what God has made unlawful, we will make legal by license. If you purchase a license, I think Scott may be calling back there. If you can hear me out there near the room.
And Pastor Sanders, can I say there's a rumor that the Republican conference, the Republican convention, they're trying to remove. Now, I don't know if it's true, but everybody needs to get with their delegates for the Republican Party and make sure they do not remove our pro-life stance from the Republican platform. I hear there's a move underfoot to go reverse some of our beliefs on pro-life, the pro-life agenda, for a political reason. So I'd really encourage people to keep an eye on that, because they're talking about changing the Republican platform.
Well, the only position we take is that right from God's word, the Bible. And that position is this, okay, abortion is murder, period, okay? With no exceptions. We don't have any exceptions. And because God's word, the Bible, doesn't have any exceptions.
That's right. I'm endorsed by the Right to Life Action Coalition, and they're...
I know I'm on the board member. I'm there. From the beginning. I was with Dr. Wilkie in the very beginning when we started, and we had our mission statements right from the word go.
Wow, thank you. Thank you. That's the strongest pro-life organization in Ohio.
Well, that was the Ohio Right to Life. The Ohio Pro-Life Action Committee right now is they're the largest organization. We had some major splits with Ohio Right to Life, but it seems like Ohio Right to Life is back on track now.
I know the Right to Life Action Coalition is Cleveland Right to Life, Cincinnati Right to Life, and the Dayton Right to Life, the ones that believe in life at conception and natural death.
Well, that's all of them. Jug County Right to Life, Turbo County Right to Life, Portage County Right to Life. They're all a part
of that. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, I'm honored to be endorsed by the Right to Life Action Coalition and the Ohio Right to Life.
All right. And you're endorsed by this radio ministry, too.
Thank you. Thank you.
All righty. Scott is back. Scott, are you there?
Yes, it's good to be back. I had a short count, and it's good to be back, Pastor Shane.
All right, it is good to have you here.
Thank you.
We have Jennifer, and we just told Jennifer who you were. And here, some of us take a stronger stand. Like, we take the position that we just talked about when it comes to life without any exception. Abortion is murder. The same position where it comes to mutilating these children with these so-called trans surgeries. This is, children are not able to make decisions like that, okay? And we see it's nothing but child abuse, and it's something that we cannot accept. And with what is happening in America today, folks, and here's where it starts. No place, no place, no place has our Lord been more dishonored. And Richard, you know this, but from the pulpits of churches.
Oh, yes.
Judgment begins in the house of God, and in that house it starts in the pulpit. And this is where our country, our God and our country have been let down. It's by the pastors. They knew better. The Bible says the righteous are as bold as lions. And Richard, you have an article there. Why don't you... I remember when George Bush was in office, I got a letter. Oh. And the letter was from Homeland Security, and they wanted me to come to a meeting. And let me tell you, well, Richard, go ahead and read the article.
It talks about this link, about Church Check link. It's CHURCHIX. It says, from the previous reference link, it is easy to conclude that most of our pastors are compromised along with their message. However, the clergy response team has taken an even darker turn for the worse.
Wow.
In only 120 days, 30 churches from around the world have turned their place of worship into potential pits of enslavement.
Well, let me tell you what the letter said. The letter asked me to come to this meeting, and it said, it tells you in there, this is confidential, don't announce you're going to this meeting to your congregation, this and that. I guess, and what it was about was, they mentioned in there how pastors need to be trained on how to teach their congregations about Romans chapter 13, and how that the Bible clearly teaches that we are to obey the government on every level. And so I got very, very angry with this, and I wrinkled it up, and I threw it in the trash, and then I got thinking about it. Maybe I should go to this. And I was talking to a couple other pastors. They wanted to know if I'm going. And I said, I'm thinking about it, and I ended up I couldn't go. Something else came up. But they went, and I said, go in there and write down everything, you know, that they say, everything I want to know word for word. Well, they went, and they come back, and they were absolutely beside themselves. They said that we are told that, one, we needed to teach our congregations that, again, Romans 13 teaches very clearly that they are to be obedience and compliance with all government on every level. And in response to this, if the pastors will do this, and there's proof of that, if there comes an emergency, if there's a shortage of food, shortage of water, or medical care, the pastor and his family will be at the first of the line, in the front of the line, to get all of these things. But in other words, if you sell out your congregation, all we're asking you to do is sell out your congregation.
Wow.
That's what they're saying, and that's kind of what it says there.
Yeah, and this clergy response team is what it's talking about, but this new software is also registering all your church members so that they can know who your church members are and what kind of attendance.
Wow.
But this clergy response team is really designed to be able to take the members and the pastors are to help them into these FEMA camps in time of crisis. Talk about World War II type of
right.
actions.
Keep
here.
Your people calm and make sure they don't rebel against the government. Okay?
Yeah, just a little sheep follow into the FEMA camps. And
Jennifer, Romans 13 means exactly what it says. For 25 years, I challenged any three neo-evangelical prissy preachers to debate me on Romans 13. And in 25 years, I never got one challenger, not one. You, Richard, you know that.
Oh, yeah. We've argued those points for years.
Was it an interdenominational letter? Was it to all pastors?
No, oh, yeah. Yeah, it was to all pastors.
Oh, yeah.
See, my pastor had a dream. I don't. He had a dream many years ago, at least a decade, where he was standing between his flock and the government. And he shared that dream, and I, you know, it seems like those days are coming closer and closer.
Yeah, well, those days are pretty much here. Hang tight, Jennifer. We're coming up to a fast break, and when we come back, if you can finish this, it's a real short break, and then we're going to listen to about these FEMA camps. So hang tight. We'll be back right after this. More to come. Oh, yeah, the numbers are 888-281-1110, 888-677-9673. And we had Joseph in Greenville. Pleasure's 100. Thank you, Joseph. All right, now we're coming up to the break. I got a little ahead of myself. So we'll be back right after this now.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.